What a beautiful spirit I feel here tonight. Before I get started, I just want to do a little pastoring here. We've been coming here on Sunday nights for prayer at 6 o'clock for ever since we've opened the doors here. And folks, I ask you to come at 6. Can we be here on time for prayer? Amen. I ask us to pray corporately. It's fine that you come in late and you want to pray, but you're not doing what I ask you to do. Can we put our conversations aside until after prayer? Just think what God could have done here tonight if we had obedience. Can we put our phones away until after prayer? I walked around here and there's people on their phones during prayer time. People talking during prayer time. We need to be adults. We need to be leaders to our children. They need to see us praying, getting a hold of God. Department heads, we need to be praying and having everybody that's in our department praying also. I want to move with God. Come on. You see, when Saul done his own thing, the Lord said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Do we really want God to move in our situation? We just sang this song, he can move mountains, he can move walls. Will God do it if we can't obey him? Will he do the things that we're asking him to do? Save our family members and our co-workers and whatever else we need. Will he do it if we're not going to listen and obey God? And leadership in your life. We just need to make a concerted effort. I believe we can do it. And I'm not asking you to come here and pray for an hour, although there would be nothing wrong with that. But I just want us to get a hold of God before we have service. So that whatever God wants to do, he can do it because we've asked him to do it. Is that okay? Thank you for being here, all of you that were here. But let's put our phones down. We can talk later on. We can talk after service. It's not that important. I don't think there's anything more important than getting a hold of God before service. Is this all right? If you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 3 through 4 says, and as he sat upon Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And listen to what Jesus said here. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. They're asking him, what signs shall we see the end of the world? And he said, take heed that no man deceive thee. Lord, right now, I pray, God, that you'll just move here tonight, that you'll touch us in this service tonight, God. Hallelujah, Lord God, I pray every heart, Lord, speak to every heart. Anoint your servant to speak your word. In Jesus' name, give him a hand clap of praise. I want to speak to you tonight, subtle deception. Subtle deception. The scripture said, take heed. A word of our times, amen? If ever there were a word for the day that we live in, deception. It's deception. A very important. It is also recorded a second time in Mark 13, 5 through 6, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then it is also repeated again in Luke 21, 8, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. I think God is trying to say something to us, amen? There is a tremendous potential for people to be deceived. And we're talking about Christians here. You know, we need to understand that, hey, we're not above anything. We have to be diligent. Three separate times Jesus warns his disciples about deception to come. Deception in our day. Today, men and women are being deceived right and left. Advertisements on the internet, newspaper, TV, the latest doctrine, new methods of understanding the Bible, opportunities to raise our children in fresh and exciting ways, things like family versus a village. Yet many times their teachings are unbiblical and they're dangerous and they're deceptive. This is a time, folks, when all of God's people need to keep their eyes and their Bibles wide open, asking God for discernment as never before. Does it sound strange to you that people who know God could be deceived? It's a very real danger. You see, 11 times in the New Testament warns God's people about possibly a possibility of being deceived. History teaches us that even faithful men and women who have believed in the name of the Almighty God are vulnerable to the deceptive tactics of the enemy. You see, folks, it's just that subtle intrusion. You see, when Israel fell into idolatry, Israel did not openly renounce the worship of Jehovah in order to bow down before the pagan gods. They did not break with the former in order to embrace the latter. You see, a subtle intrusion into the worship eroded the affections. It eroded the effectiveness of God's people. You see what I'm talking about? It's little here and a little there. Subtle things. Israel's policy of spiritual tolerance, of diversity, what that did was it left the door open wide enough for deception to slip in unannounced. In the temple of God were the articles made for the vile Canaanite deity Baal, fusing the worship of Yahweh and the worship of Canaanite gods. And in church, you see, there is a concern about the spiritual direction of our nation, the spiritual direction of God's people. All this in the name of tolerance. Many churches today believe that it must call God both he and she. Many churches today feel they must describe the mother of Jesus, a young woman, rather than the Virgin Mary. And according to the scholars of a group Jesus Seminar, Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. You see, the Lord's Prayer, they believe, was drawn up by Christians after Jesus died. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, said that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You see, what this verse speaks of, the snare of the devil, and not being taken captive by him at his will. What steps can we take to make sure that we avoid this? You see, we need to avoid the snare of the devil. We don't want him to take us captive at his will. Now, I think that we must begin by getting our minds ready for the attack to come. You see, in order to effectively confront the deception of the enemy, we must be reminded of the truth. The scripture tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. God wants us to understand, folks, that we must have the truth. And it just drives me crazy when the world is so accepting of lies. So there are crucial truths. The personality behind these deceptions is Satan. Understand that, folks. Don't be deceived. He is the personality behind the deception in people's lives. This is not just a happenstance. There is someone behind these deceptions. The Bible tells us he is the father of lies in John chapter 8. And since the very beginning, one of his primary weapons has been deceit. In Revelation 12, it speaks of him as the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. But Satan, he advertises himself. His main weapon is deception. When you read 2 Chronicles 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See, people look at that. Oh, it looks good here. This looks like it has to be where God wants me to go. An angel of light. The principle of deception have not changed. Hear me. I said the principles of deception has not changed. In the 80s, it was no mystery that when you lined up against Danny Ford's Clemson Tigers, you knew what was coming at you. You see, they would line up and run the ball over you. Why use the same strategy game after game, week after week? Why use the same strategy? You know why? Because it worked. Years ago, when Nate was young, we had this game on computer. He just told me how to do it. And I was the 78 Browns. Okay? And I sacked him every time. He's, why did you go sack it every time? I said, because it works. When it works, why change it? Those Clemson Tigers, they just come right at you. They run over you. You see, folks, Satan has a proven strategy that he has used from the beginning. He doesn't have a new playbook, and he doesn't need one. Identify Satan's master plan and how it applies to what goes on today. He disputes God's word always. In Genesis 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. You see, he immediately began to water down what God had said, to change it just a little bit. Satan suggested that she may not have heard God correctly. You see, folks, today the word of God speaks a clear no to something that you really want. Then out of the blue, someone comes up beside you and gives you an alternative interpretation. And you're like, wow, that sounds okay. If I listen to this, I can have what I want. And the text that will allow you to do what God said no to in the first place sounds pretty good. So you end up in confusion, or you end up in doubt, saying that you don't know what the scripture really means. You see, Satan also denies God's word. In Genesis 3:4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. It was a flat contradiction of what God said. Amen? In Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Satan said, you won't surely die. A man by the name of David Jeremiah, he wrote a book, Until I Come. He said this. He said, I am learning that every time you try to find an interpretation of a scripture that will permit you to do something you know is wrong, every time you give a little ground to the devil and lose some ground from the Word of God, it isn't long until Satan drives a truck through the opening and dumps a load of stinking garbage in your life. You see, when you give a little bit here and you give a little bit there, before long, he's going to come in with a truck. And he's going to dump a mess in your life. Because Satan also displaces God's word. You see, he told Eve, you will be like God in Genesis 3. Little by little, the idea of absolute truth is being eroded out of our culture today, folks. Until it exerts little to no power in the lives of churchgoers. That's Satan's master plan. And it works as long as we let it work. See, I've always said that Satan has no power in your life except for what you allow him. And when you come in, when you allow him to come in and little by little erode the truth and the word of God, you're opening the door for a lot of trouble. We need to stand on the word of God. We need to stand on what is true and say, if it isn't in the word, I don't want it. And maybe it doesn't always go along with what this flesh wants. But Paul said, I die daily. We need to crucify this flesh. You're not getting your way. God said no, and it is no. Don't give in. Satan's master plan, it works. Folks, this is how we allow ourselves to be deceived, by allowing him to erode the truth of God in our life. We are foolish if we allow him to do that. If we give in and believe his nonsense. See, first, Eve discounted God's goodness. You see, when you want something bad enough and you allow the enemy to tell you an untruth, next thing you know, the goodness of God doesn't matter too much in your life. Because Eve began to discount God's goodness. In Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Sounds good, doesn't it? Of every tree, except for the one in the middle. Well, here's what she said. And the woman said, and this is in Genesis 3, verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. It went from freely eating to, well, we can eat of the fruit. She's discounting God's blessing. Her comprehension of God's provision was not nearly as generous as God intended it to be. God said, freely eat. In other words, eat what you want. Well, we can eat of it. Except that one. You see, her comprehension of God's provision, it's not as generous as God intended it. So when you start to question or forget the grace and the goodness of God, you begin walking down the road toward satanic deception. And then, oh Eve, then she decided to dramatize God's restrictions. In Genesis 3, 2 and 3, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you cannot eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. See how she twisted some things here? Nowhere do we find that God told her or Adam not to touch the forbidden tree. See, she added something there. God said, don't eat of it. She said, God said, don't eat of it and don't even touch it. That mean old God. We don't find that. Why is the statement of Eve so important here, folks? See, when you give Satan an inroad into your life, you'll soon be thinking less of the grace of God and more of the law of God. You'll be thinking more about, not so much about how God has blessed you and how great he's taken care of it, how much better your life is today. You'll be thinking of, I can't do this and I can't do that. God won't let me do this. God won't let me go over here. Come on. God, and he's such a mean old God. He won't let me do this. And pastor won't let me do that. And pastor says I can't do this. You're not looking at the grace and the goodness. God was awesome when he first saved you. Pastor was the best thing around when you first came around. And all of a sudden now, because you've been allowing the devil to come in and have the inroads in your life, all of a sudden, everything's rotten in my life. Come on. When you give Satan an inroad into your life, you'll soon be thinking of less grace of God, less goodness of God, and how mean God is. You see, sometimes people quibble about whether the times are really the same as the Word of God, as when the Word of God was written. Well, that was for back then. That's not for us today. We're, you know, it's 2018, come on. And you start quibbling about, well, that was way back then, and shouldn't we be allowed to do more, have more freedom today in our culture? You see, I've heard people do that about the things of God. I've also heard people say how that our laws, what do they call them? Constitution. Oh, that was so old. That was way back 200 years ago. We need to update it. See, when people want things their own way, that's not for today. You see, what they're really saying is, God just don't understand. God, he needs to get with the times. This is 2018. People start quibbling about that stuff. And then, oh Eve, she diminished God's penalty. We're pretty good about that, isn't it? Well, I don't believe God really wants to do that. You see, here's what Eve said. She said, lest you die. Compare that to what God said in Genesis 2, when the Lord declared in Genesis 2, verse 17, she said, lest you die. Here's what God said. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. She's diminishing God's penalty here. Lest, when God said surely. When put like, lest you die, the penalty for disobedience does not seem so certain, does it? You see, Satan comes to our people, especially our young people, and he whispers seductively, you know, you've got all these desires to live up to, and they're all within you. A little alcohol, a little drugs, a little sex, because after all, everybody's doing it. See, God's penalty, it's not that harsh. Can't be wrong if everybody's doing it. Come on. See how deceptive he is? Everybody's doing. Don't listen to Satan's voice. You see, he wants to destroy you. He does not want to build you up. He wants to enslave you. He does not want to liberate you. You see, all those people that have got entangled in those drugs and alcohol and sex and all these kind of things, you can just go on, whatever you want to put there. They've all got baggage to carry. And God says, if you'll live it and do it my way, you'll be liberated. You won't have all that baggage when you get married. You won't have all that baggage when you get older. The power over deception is through Jesus Christ. You see, folks, against the backdrop of Satan's deceit stands Jesus Christ. He is the personification of truth. And when we follow him, we walk in the truth and then we are not deceived. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Let's stand here tonight. David Jeremiah, he said this, "Every time God's people suffer destruction, it is because the deceiver has been allowed just a little foothold in the door." And when you see that foot edging in the doorway, be pitiless in the way that you deal with it. How pitiless? Well, the Bible says we are to crucify it. You see, crucifixion hurts. It's an agonizing, bloody business. But it is also permanent. And that's the kind of response we must make every time we see the devil's foot near the door jamb. Understand this tonight, folks. The devil is not your friend. The devil hates you. He'll promise you the world. But in the end, you'll get death. He's the deceiver. Don't think that you can carry on and do whatever you want in life and get away with it. Don't let him deceive you thinking that you don't need to listen to the things of God. Don't let him deceive you and think you don't need leadership in your life. That you don't need authority in your life. He's a liar and the father of it. You see, God set this up. It amazes me sometimes how some people say, "Well, I don't need the church." Well, when I look in the Word of God, God created the church. So you're telling God I don't need it? I can live for God any way I want. I can live for God from home. You're fooling yourself. You're listening to the deceiver. Come on. I don't need to forgive so-and-so. You're listening to the deceiver. And you can go right on down the list, folks. We all know what you need to deal with. Attitudes, things of that nature. You're listening to the deceiver. We need to do it God's way. Don't let him put that foot through the door, because he's going to drive a truck right into your life and ruin you. We need to stay in the Word. We need to stay, amen, true to the things of God. And I'm going to open up this altar tonight. And you need to come up here and say, "God, help me to not be deceived, as your word says. Help me, Lord God, not to allow the devil even on my back porch." Come on. This altar's open for us tonight. Take heed, the word of God says. And no man deceive you. Holy Spirit.